That's great. That's great. Brother R.C., would you pray for us, please? Amen. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Reader's Banquet free of charge. We've been in the book of Genesis for a while, and we saw that the first 11 chapters were the Word of God, Genesis book number 1, if you will, and every word in it's true. And then we've started Genesis 2, chapters 12 to chapters 50, and we saw that every word in that's true. We've looked at Abraham and Isaac. We've been trying to look at Jacob now for a while. We saw him in chapter 25 as a devising brother. Scheming brother, a deceitful son. Then he's dreaming, dreams about Jacob's ladder and a love-struck suitor. He's in love. He's in love. He finds Rachel. Then the frustrated family man comes home from the field every night facing four tents. Wonder which tent to go to tonight. And the enterprising employee, him and Laban, go into business together. And he wrestles with God then, the determined wrestler. And then today maybe we'll see the enraged father. Some of these chickens coming home to roost. We're in Genesis chapter 33. Dear Lord, again we ask for help. In Christ's name, take care of the task at hand, I ask. Amen. Okay, chapter 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came. And with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel, unto the two handmaids. He put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and their children after, Rachel and Leah hindermost. Now the sons of the handmaids, they've got to get the hint here. There's been things all along for 20 years showing who's the favorite and who's loved and who's not loved. And this shows us again a picture. Verse 3, and he passes over before them. And I like that now. He's brave and courageous to get up front. Jacob is. He gets up front. He's been cautious, but he's got some courage right here. And he bows himself to the ground 7 times. He starts bowing a long ways back until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him. I bet that was exciting right there. The last time he saw Esau, he saw Esau. Last time he saw his brother, he had vowed to kill him. And here he comes running at him. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know he's going to hug his neck, like it says right here. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. I bet that's a lot of relief right there. How about Proverbs 21:1? It took a lot of pressure off him right there. Got that grace he'd been looking for. Got the grace. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart, Esau's heart, is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. We've found Jacob lying and listening. And sometimes he's learning, he's been limping, and later on he's going to lean. He's going to lean on the everlasting arms. It's hard to tell when he starts being spiritual. He's so much like Brother Rick. You can't tell. He got a special visit from God, and now he's already going on fear. We'll see here in this chapter in just a minute. He passed over before them. He went in front. Israel, the Israeli officers today, they don't use the word charge. They say, follow me. Big difference. Big difference in saying charge and saying follow me. Okay, verse 5. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? This is Esau. And Jacob said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Let's look at that in Psalm 123, or 127, I mean. Verse Brother R.C. prayed for him downstairs. The children are our most prized possession, maybe. The reason is we get them from God. Verse 3 here, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The only place you can get children is from God. They're gifts. They're gifts from God, straight from Him. And Jacob recognizes that. Let's look at that in Isaiah 8. And I will wait upon the Lord that hath his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom God hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Children are an heritage of the Lord. See, we're on verse 8 here. Let's see. Jacob presents his flocks to Esau. And he said, Esau said, what meanest thou with all this drove which I met? He said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And we've got grace. Everything's grace. I had gas to get here. That's grace. I had my usual banana. That's grace. I didn't have to have that. We've got grace, and Jacob's doing this to find grace. And guess what? He found it. 9 and 10. Esau said, I have enough, my brother. That's pretty good right there. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, now it's like a couple fighting over the bill. At the Bob Evans at the cash register when you get there. They're fighting over here. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, then receive my present. Remember the present back in 32, the 580 animals. He said, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God. Talking about answered prayer. You know how it is when you wasn't sure, you didn't know if you was going to make it or not.
Right.
It was only 6 days. And it was due. It was coming due. And the Lord answered prayer. And God showed up. And thou hast was pleased with me. Finally, him and Jacob. Jacob's trust God, and then he's like me. I'm not going to say like you. Then he goes to scheming and planning and trying to figure out his own way. Number 11, verse 11, Genesis 33. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. I made a circle there around God and enough. In my Bible. He is enough, isn't he? We sing that and we say that, but I think he might really be enough. That's what Jacob said right here. A little bit different for Jacob. He's always wanting more, like Brother Rick, wanting more and more. But here he said, God is enough. And he's got restitution, and not just restitution, but reconciliation. They get together. Brothers acting like brothers. It's no good when brothers don't talk to each other and don't get along. This is the way it ought to be. They've been reconciled now. And starting verse 12, he said, let us take our journey and let us go, and I will go before thee. It's Esau talking. And he, Jacob, said to him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. I don't know about that. 14. Let my Lord, I pray. He just got through running from Laban. he's reverting back to the old Jacob already, just like Brother Rick, up and down, in and out, back and forth. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord unto serve. And Esau said, let me now leave some of these folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir, and Jacob journeyed to Suffolk. He lied again. Yeah. That old man. We've got to keep our thumb on the old man, or he'll creep up, he'll raise his ugly head up. And this is the only way I know to do it. Just right here. Jacob's got his problems, mister. He's got his problems. He's leaning on the arm of the flesh, is what he's doing. Just like Brother Rick does a lot. Let's start in 17 here. We see the return. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth. He's been told, let's go back to, let's see, we'll find it here in a minute. He's been, how about 31:13? Look at here. God talks to him. He said, I'm the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow to me. Now arise and get thee out of this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. He's not supposed to go to Seir or Succoth, either one. He's supposed to be going to El Bethel, the house of God. And he's throwing rocks in the river along the way and skipping along and picking up tin cans and stuff. And Jacob came to Shalem, the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, where he came from Padan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. He's supposed to be going to Bethel. And he bought a piece of ground, a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El She Israel. Jacob, he has trouble doing right. Before he'd been a pilgrim with a tent. Now he's got him a house and a piece of ground. And he settles down short of Canaan, short of Bethel. He's getting ready to pay a dear price for disobedience and lingering. Obedience has to be immediate. Delayed obedience is disobedience.
That is right.
And that's what Jacob's facing here. 34, the enraged father. It's harvest time.
Yeah.
It's reaping time. There's more coming up. It was a mistake to stop on the way. I think he's 30 miles from the will of God. God's concerned with believers marrying believers. I praise the Lord that Sister Kim and I both got saved before we were married. Before. He's not interested in believers marrying unbelievers. God's concerned about the environment that we surround ourselves with. Jacob's not thinking about that. He has made a change, but growth is slow. Let's see in 34 here. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land.
Yeah.
Why?
Be careful.
Why? Yeah. She'll see how high the high heels are this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see how high the skirts are this year.
Yes, sir.
How low the tops are.
Yes.
Wonder what everybody else is doing.
Right.
Why?
You better pay attention.
Right? Why? Going to be a great disaster. Verse 2. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. It's reaping time. Chickens are coming home to roost. Got one bright spot here. Shisham does have good intentions when it's all said and done. And he, verse 3, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shisham spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. He's got good intentions. He wants to get married. Verse 5, here's the grand fact. Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah's daughter. Now his sons were with the cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. He does tell them. He says till they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved. Now, these sons, they're 20-some years old now, or 20. Some a little bit younger, some older. And they were very wroth. Because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. I kind of highlighted that. It said, which thing ought not to be done. Over on this side, it said, which thing ought not to be done, is what it said. Then, here's the unexpected proposal. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son, Shechem, longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her to me, to him to wife. And ye make marriages with us, and give us your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possession therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, that you shall say unto me, and I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as you shall say unto me, to give me the damsel to wife. He wants to get married. He wants to do the honorable thing. Then here's the pretenders. 13. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister unto one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you. We will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter and we'll be gone. Well, I don't think it was the boy's daughter. I think it was Jacob's and Leah's daughter. But anyway, the pretenders. Then the trustful acceptance. Here, they take him at his word. Verse 18, and their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young men deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. More honorable than Jacob's house too. Verse 20. And Hamor and Shechem his son came into the gate of the city and communed with the men of the city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore let us dwell in the land and trade with them for the land. Behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. And then note 23 also, they do have some ulterior motives here, and says, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? That's why they want to intermarry. They're planning on taking it from Jacob. Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. They expected to marry Jacob's money. It's about what it amounts to. Yeah. Then in 24, and unto Hamor, unto Shechem, his son, hearkened all that went out of the gate of the city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of the city. This is like a picture of the unconverted joining the church.
Right.
Got a little pressure on them there and joining the church without being saved.
Right.
25. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's full brothers here from Leah, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. Here's some tricksters not trusting God. They're not trusting God. Farthest thing from their mind. Romans 12. Which I'm not saying it'd be easy to at a time like this, but Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. It's easy to say, easy to read, but too many times Brother Rick rises up, that old Rick, leaning on the arm of the flesh, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, that's God's wrath. Let God take care of the wrath. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, Brother Rick, but overcome evil with good. Okay, back to verse 26, I think that's where we're at. Genesis 34:26. And they slew Hamor and Shechem with the sons. Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. And they took their sheep, their oxen, their asses, and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took that captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said unto Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me and made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. More reaping. Jacob's going to need a real long roost pole to get all of his chickens on when they come home. You made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. And I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Well, was she? Jacob, he failed as a pilgrim, failed as a parent. And he failed to discipline his children. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Here's some other examples. John Lennon, some of you are not old enough to know who he is, was in the rock and roll group, the Beatles. He said, Christianity will end, it will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I'm certain Jesus was okay, but his subjects are too simple. Today, we, the Beatles, are more famous than him. After he said that, he got shot 6 times.
Yeah.
That's how he died. In Brazil, during a presidential campaign, the one fellow running for president said if he got 500 votes, then even God couldn't remove him from the presidency. I can't pronounce his name here. He got the votes, but the day before he was to be sworn in, he got sick and died.
Yeah, think about that.
Also in Brazil, there's a composer, singer, poet, during a show in Rio de Janeiro, while smoking a cigarette, he puffed out some smoke into the air and said, God, that's for you. He died at age 32 with AIDS, of AIDS. Marilyn Monroe was visited by Billy Graham. After hearing what the preacher had to say, she said, I don't need your Jesus. A week later, she was found dead in her apartment.
Yeah.
Bon Scott of vocalist of singer on AC/DC, for AC/DC. On one of his songs, he sang, "Don't Stop Me, I'm going down to hell, I'm going all the way to hell." On February the 19th, 1980, he was found dead, drowned in his own vomit. In Brazil, 2005, in Brazil, a group of friends were drunk and they went to pick up a friend, and the mother followed the friend, her daughter, out to the car, and the whole carload was drunk, and she said, "Daughter, go with God." And the daughter said, "Only if he travels in the trunk, the boot of the car. Inside here is already full." A few hours later, the news came that they'd had a fatal accident. The car crashed. Everyone inside it died. The car could not be recognized what kind of car it was, but except for the trunk.
Think about that.
The police said there was no way the trunk could have remained intact, but to their surprise, inside the boot, inside the trunk, was a crate of eggs, unbroken. I think we just ought to go with God. Go with God. Got a little bit of time here. Let's delve into 35, the obedient patriarch. "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there." It's about the third time he's told him now. "And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." For 10 years, yes, Jacob had lived 30 miles from surrender. But now he's finally going to start taking leadership, taking control like he's supposed to. If he'd done that in chapter 33, maybe 34 would have been avoided.
Right. Yeah.
Hebrews 4. Brother Clark read these verses the other night, Wednesday night, I think it was. Preacher's been preaching about this. Kind of. Let's see. Hebrews 4, verse 1. "Let's therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." See, we need to rest in Christ. Rest from our works. We're learning downstairs, you can't be good enough to go to heaven. I can't be good enough to go to heaven. There's no way. The Lord paid the price for us on Calvary. He died a sinner's death because I owed death. And I need to receive Him by faith. Verse 9 in Hebrews chapter 4. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." That's what Brother Clark was trying to tell us about. And then verse 11. "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." We don't want to go on unbelief and a work salvation. We want to go with faith in Christ and trust Him and His Word and what He says. We can rest in Him. And then work because we're glad we're saved. Not to get saved, just because we're thankful. Just because we're thankful. Revival. Here it is in verse 2. "Then Jacob said unto the household," I'm in Genesis 35 now, "to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be ye clean, and change your garments." Well, Rachel is still carrying around those idols she hid in the camel furniture and set on. Jacob said, "Hey, we've got to get rid of those things. Get rid of them." He took them and he buries them under a tree. He buries them. "Let us arise and go up to Bethel, the house of God. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way. And they gave unto Jacob all their strange gods which were in their hand, all their earrings, which in that day were a symbol of idol worshippers that had strange gods, and which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem." He buried them. He buried them. They put away that which was wrong. Then they cleaned up. They fessed up. And then they changed their garments. Around these horse shows, they call it habits. Your riding clothes are your habits. They change their habits. They change their garments. They change their uniforms. 2 Corinthians 6. We're talking about revival. 2 Corinthians 6. I know you know this. Starting in 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had Dinah going down in town there and seeing what the girls were doing? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with the idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They ceased doing what was wrong. They cleaned up. They changed. They committed. And then they congregated. They got together at the house of God. Verse 5 now. And they journeyed, and the terror of the Lord was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, which was in the land of Canaan. That is Bethel, the house of God. He and all the people that were with him. Victory, revival, obedience. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. The God of the house of God is what we're talking about. He said, I am God Almighty. God Almighty. Here in verse 8, Deborah dies, Rebekah's nurse. And some call this the death chapter. There's 4 or 5 people die down through here. But the first one right here is the nurse. And she was buried beneath Bethel, under an oak, and the name of it is called Hallon Baca. And God appeared unto Jacob there again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel, a prince with God. Not going to be a deceiver no more, like he already once said back when they wrestled. And Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. And be fruitful and multiply. A nation and company of nations shall be of thee, and the kings shall come out of thy loins. Verse 12. And the land. See, Israel is an earthly people. They're looking forward to the land. And God done promised this. This is the third time on this. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And 13. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And this is the first mention of the drink offering, and it's poured on all the other offerings, just like I should pour myself on any offering that I would want to offer to God. 15. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. 16, and they journeyed from Bethel. Why? Why? This was just like before. Why? Yeah. Why would you get out of church? He got revived. But that's what we'll do. We'll get revived. This morning, preacher red hot sermon at 11 o'clock. 12:30, we'll backslide in the car on the way home.
Yeah.
This is just the way we are. The way Rick is. I don't know about you. It's the way Rick is. And already they journeyed from Bethel. Why? It's not going to end up good. Let's see. There was but a little way to come to Ephrata, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. And she called his name Benoni, but his father said, Call him Benjamin. Son of his right hand is what it means. Mary over in the New Testament is going to give birth to the Son of God's right hand. Kind of a picture here. Bethlehem, verse 19, and Rachel died, was buried in the way to Ephrata, which is Bethlehem. It means the house of bread. After we get saved, Bethel, then we go to the house of bread is next, and we get fed. Afraid we're going to stop right there. The clock is against me. Let's pray.